point?
Mm. Yeah, it's been a long time since we've done one. And again, we sort of refuse to even do it now just because it has the same issues as a laminate floor.
Yeah.
But what we found is it also tends to expand and contract quite a lot.
All right, let's do it, yeah?
Okay. Who's the best?
We're the best.
We're the best. Let's do it.
Nailed it on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Jesus. Okay.
All right, let's start the fucking
podcast. No, we are the best, so there's nobody like us, that's for sure.
Definitely, definitely.
We agree. Should do a challenge of a builder, like a major builder, and just challenge them, I think.
Yeah. See, it sounds good in theory, but I don't think anyone would actually do it.
No, nobody would do it, but
I mean,
they're not
stupid enough to do it because, like, come on, let's be real.
I'd be like, oh, I'm going to get you so hard.
You're like, I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going
to fuck you up. Yeah, not true.
All right.
I'm good.
Hello and welcome back to the number one home building podcast in Australia. This week, we are talking all things flooring 101. So I believe this is almost our 20th podcast episode now. So it's crazy to think we've come this far, but nothing's really changed. We're still going to introduce ourselves at the start, yeah, like I guess normal.
Why not?
The same
my name is Pablo. No, my name is Chris Baptista. I'm the director of Homes by CMA, one of the largest and best builders in Queensland.
Boom, that's it. Just like the classic, just like from the first episode to now, nothing's changed.
It probably is word for word.
I mean, yeah, the same thing. And I am Jaden Peters. I am the marketing manager for CMA. So like we said, flooring. And let's just jump straight in because it seems like a very basic topic, but there is actually a lot to it, isn't it, in terms of flooring. So probably the most common, I would say, flooring, in my opinion, would be like, you know, your tiles. So
unless you build one of those with one of those builders and all you get is plain concrete.
That's true. That's true. Then you're in a bit of a chestnut. So
anyway, let's go back to the tiles.
That's it. Yeah. So as we discussed, so a lot of builders, you know, they offer usually, unless it's plain concrete, tiles as standard in most of like the living areas, right? And we highly recommend, and what we offer as standard is 600 by 600 tiles. But what are some of the different types of tiles and the benefits of tiles?
So you have a lot of options in regards to tiles, and you should definitely have a look at tile stores like National Tiles and all those and have a really good idea of what is on offer. I wouldn't pick anything less for your living areas than a 600 by 600 tiles. I think any less than that and it's just dated already and you haven't even installed it.
Yeah.
So you will see a lot of builders have a 450 by 450 tile as a standard. And in my opinion, this doesn't cut it. It's too old school. So you want to insist on a 600 by 600. And if your builder doesn't have that as a standard, you want to upgrade to a 6x6. So the 6x6 usually come as a porcelain tile. That's what the most common tiles are nowadays. Ceramics are a little bit old school again, not as durable. They're porous in terms of water and they usually come in a 450 by 450 size. And one of the difference too is, so if you pick up a tile, you will find that a porcelain tile will usually have a rectified edge, which is pretty much a sharp edge with a really small bevel that you can hardly see unless you look really close.
Which is good, hey. That's
which a is good. Good. Thing. It's good because if you didn't have that bevel edge, it would just chip too easy. So they get same thing as a stone bench top in a kitchen. You know, we give it a little bevel just so that it looks nice and you're not going to scratch, I guess, your hands on it. While a ceramic tile usually has the more, I guess, curved edge. So the cushion edge.
For sure.
It looks a little bit, it doesn't just look, it is old school. And not only that, but it also affects the grout thickness. So if we talk ceramic tiles, the cushion edge, you usually have, say, a 5mm grout line, which is really thick, doesn't look good. More maintenance because the more grout, the more maintenance. So I would really stick away from that unless it's in the alfresco. I'm happy with that. You know, it looks fine in a sub alfresco. But inside, 600 by 600. And you do have two grout options. I mean, not options because most builders would offer a 3mm grout.
For sure.
So that is the distance in between the two tiles is usually 3mm. And you could go smaller, and we were just speaking about this before. Mm. So you could go to a 1.5 mil grout line. However, the tolerance then starts to get a little bit tricky. It's also harder for your expansion joint because when you have a look at your floor when it's all finished, you should have some lines which are filled with silicon, and that's just so that your floor move. The bigger the floor, the more expansion joins, and it's very important that you have it because, say, if, for example, that side of the house gets hit with sun and this doesn't, and you have, for example, an H2 slab, it will move. Floor moves no matter what it is. So very important that you have expansion, and 1.5 grout means that it's harder to get good expansion on your floor. So as much as, yes, it looks nicer, I would still recommend the 3 mil grout.
100%. Sweet. So I think that pretty much nailed the coffin on the head in terms of
The only tiles. Other thing I guess we could speak about in terms of tile, which we get asked a lot, is the Timberlook tiles. And because we're going to go into the Timberlook flooring, and we should maybe speak about Timberlook tiles.
That's it. I'm not going to lie. They look pretty cool.
They look pretty cool. We've done a few jobs, quite a few jobs with it, obviously, and they look great. A few things to keep in mind is obviously the cost of the tile themselves is a little bit more expensive usually if you want a really nice plank. Yep. And then the main cost will go into the laying of those tiles. So when a builder or a tiler lays tiles, most of them use clips. So the clips are there. So you have one tile, you have the second tile, you put your clip, and then you put a wedge that's going to level those tiles. So if you think about it, a 600 by 600 tile would usually have, say, four clips or maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Mm-hmm. But a plank would have a lot more clips.
Yeah.
Because a tile is never going to be perfectly flat. So the clips are there to ensure that by the time you lay everything, it's all flat, I guess.
Yeah.
So the labor in terms of a Timberlook flooring is just a lot more. And it could take a tile, say, for a 60 square meter living, one day to lay normal tiles.
Yeah.
Timberlook tiles might be 2 days.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's where just be prepared to pay a little bit more when it comes to a Timberlook tile.
Yeah, awesome. Beautiful. So obviously you don't put necessarily tiles everywhere. You definitely have the option to.
We do that a lot too, actually. We've seen it a good point. Mm. It's a good point. You don't have to have carpets in your bedrooms.
That's it.
You could have tiles, and how many homes do we do where it's fully, fully tiled? So yeah, it's true.
That's it. So yeah, pretty much led me into the next one, which is of course our carpet. Mm. So it is probably most common in like the bedrooms, the media rooms, maybe like the upstairs living, things like that. Mm. But like, can you just, for example, it's going to sound like a stupid question, but why don't we put, let's say, carpet in the bathroom?
I mean,
I know it sounds like a stupid question, but I'm sure some people have wondered why.
I mean, we have been asked for timber flooring in sort of wet areas and all that. And sometimes you just can't unless it's a waterproof flooring, and then it just causes issues.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically you really want a waterproof flooring in your wet areas. So as much as carpet, and I'm pretty sure I have seen carpet in really old school houses in wet areas.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I'm pretty sure I have. That's the thing to remember too. Carpet can also be glued down. So you don't have, normally carpets, for those that don't know, say you have a bedroom, a carpet installer would put a piece of timber all around your room that has lots and lots of really small nails poking through. And a carpet is laid on an underlay and stretched. So it's not glued down, it's not anything like that, but you could glue down carpet. Mm. It would just be really hard to work on. So all the commercial places you go through have carpet that's glued down. But yeah, you wouldn't put it in a wet area purely because of a maintenance point of view, I guess. It probably would be soft on your feet, but it'd be so hard to keep clean that it'd just be too hard. So. So bedrooms, media rooms, and so usually carpet is on a sort of really nice underlay.
Mm.
You have a few options in terms of underlay, and please check that with your builder.
Definitely.
Most builders include a 6 mil underlay. Mm-hmm. First of all, check that they do include an underlay.
That's it. It's such an important part.
It's such an important, because it's what's going to make it feel soft. So there's two things that are going to make your carpet feel soft. The underlay, which is at the bottom of the carpet and you don't see it, and the carpet itself and the thickness of the pile.
Yeah.
So always, you know, have a bit of a test. Even go to a carpet store that would have different underlay. You can put a piece of carpet on top and see how it feels.
That's it.
There's also different densities in it too, but most builders use a 6 mil.
Yeah.
We use a 10 mil, and I recommend nothing less but a 10 mil sort of underlay. Unless you've got a really thick pile, But apart from that, always go with a $10 million. And particularly on a two-story house, what you have to consider is you have a timber floor, you will be walking upstairs. Usually you don't have shoes, so your heels are going to hit the ground quite hard, and the underlay is going to make it not as noisy downstairs.
Yeah.
Which is something important. We're going to talk next about timber flooring. And before I forget, it is something important to note when you have a timber floor upstairs that, you know, when you are downstairs, you will hear quite a lot of noise from upstairs. So you may want to insulate your floor system.
That's it. Yeah. Perfect. So, holy shit, that was a lot. And I was just slowly getting the cogs to catch up. But in terms of carpet, there is also a bunch of different fabrics that you can get.
That's right.
And different materials. So, obviously, probably the most common one that probably 90% of people use would be like a nylon carpet. If you want to get something a little bit more premium, they do have things like wool and that as well, which is more of a natural fiber, obviously, and is probably, they say it's more suited to the, you know, people with allergies and things like that as well, just because it doesn't trap all the dust mites.
There's also carpets, and you did get that for your house, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a wool one. It was either a polyester or something else, but it had a special treatment to not trigger.
That's it, yeah. It's a polyester carpet that essentially has been treated to you know, ease the allergies and resist like dust mites and all that sort of crap.
So if you do have an allergy, but you like a carpet, there is always an option. Yes, carpet will collect dust a lot more than normal floor, but there's always an option if you do like
even your underlay can be a allergy like resistant or free underlay as well. So definitely some great options out there. But it's also important that depending on what type of style of house you want may vary on what type of carpet and what type of, you know, weave it even
for
is,
sure.
You know?
And I mean, for example, if you have an investment home, you want that, you know, cheap looking carpet that's got all the small squares.
Yeah,
low maintenance, super cheap to replace,
and
it looks okay. If you want a nicer house, obviously a thicker pile. I mean, we handed over a house not that long ago and it had like about a 20 mil pile. It was so nice to walk on.
Yeah,
I don't think you were there for this one. It was a while ago, but it was just so nice to walk on, like literally the best carpet I've walked on.
Be like walking on clouds.
It was like you just wanted to lay on it and just it was so nice.
Stroke the fairy wall.
Yeah, that's it. And then you've got things like wool carpet. And it's true, for example, we will be building a lot of Mediterranean style homes. Wool carpets, I think would suit the style perfect. Perfect, so yeah. But a little bit more expensive.
It is, yeah.
But you also have to think sometimes if you buy cheap carpet, what usually tends to happen, the carpet will be fine. I mean, yes, cheaper carpet will get stained easier than expensive carpet, but it's also the pile. So what happens is where you're going to be walking, the pile on cheap carpet is going to go down and it's pretty much going to be looking like a flat carpet, I guess. Yeah. So while on really nice and expensive, a carpet that has 25-year warranty or lifetime in some, the pile will usually stay up and look really, really nice. So then you vacuum it and it looks brand new.
That's it. Pretty much. And like, you know, if you're in a high traffic area all the time, like, you know, let's say a media room or in your main master bedroom or something, you're always walking in there. So you might as well just spend a little bit extra on a premium.
It's a very good point. Consider when you pick your flooring, consider the traffic that will happen is flooring. And prime example, again, if you go to a David Jones, what will you find? You'll find tiles or vinyl flooring.
Exactly.
Because of the amount of traffic. So you want a commercial grade floor. So I know a house doesn't get as much traffic, but you always have to think it's true. If you have a master bedroom and you're going in and out and in and out and that hallway is going to be looking flat, it's not the nicest thing to see, like, you know? Every day you'll be like,
in and out,
this is flat.
In and out, in and out.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you want to go in and out or no?
No, it's good. Yeah. It's good.
Cool. It's good. The last thing I wanted to touch on in regards to, well, I guess it applies to every flooring, but carpets in particular, is that most manufacturers will offer across the different ranges of the same color, but for, let's say, that allergen or a more premium thing. So for example, in my house, what we did to save a bit of cost is in the master bedroom, we got the premium carpet that was allergy free, but in all the rest of the bedrooms, we got the same color carpet, but just the cheaper version.
And it's a great idea. You're not going to use those rooms that much.
Yeah.
Why bother? Why spend the money where you can spend it somewhere else?
Exactly.
Good point too.
Yeah, sweet. So that pretty much brings us around to, like you said, the wood flooring. So lots of types of wood flooring and, well, I guess they're classified as wood flooring, but they're not technically
Or timber
wood
looks.
Flooring. Timber look, there you go. Yeah. First one is vinyl. So you mentioned it before, vinyl, incredibly durable product,
Oh, I guess vinyl, and people sometimes, because they haven't seen the newest vinyl, they think of vinyl as the old school 3 meter roll, you roll on the floor and it just looks like shit, you know. Vinyl has changed a lot.
Yeah.
Vinyl has evolved into a product that is so good. And I've told that joke to you, not a joke, but I've said that to a few people. When I go again to David Jones, and I must look like a weirdo because I look at the floor sometimes, I'm like, is this real? You know? And so I have to go down like and just touch it and knock on it to see what sort of floor it is.
It's true.
So if it's vinyl, you knock and it's rubbery, so you can feel that it's vinyl. Yeah. And usually it is, but like I just find it so impressive because it's so nicely done. Vinyl, yes, super easy maintenance. It's still really low cost, considering how good it looks and the properties of it, the cost of it is really, really good. There's two ways to have vinyl flooring, and some people may have maybe doing a renovation, so they might be watching this. So you can have a loose lay floor, which is basically a vinyl plank that is just, and it comes in planks. It doesn't come in
rolls.
A roll, it comes in a plank.
Yeah.
You can have a loose lay plank, which you just lay on the floor. You don't glue it, it just stays there and it's a loose lay. Or ideally you wanna have a glued down vinyl flooring. And again, even with the glued down, there's two options. There's usually a thinner vinyl and there's a thicker vinyl, which is about 4 mil. I would stick with a thicker vinyl for the reason that the thicker vinyl will hide defects on the floor a lot better than a thinner. You gotta think of it in terms of this, I guess, the thinner the flooring, the more defects you will see on the floor. And you might not see it much, but all it takes is a tiny hump and a mil, 2 mil. 2 mil will do it. And you have a sliding door and the sun hits it and you might actually see that hump. So vinyl floor, the crucial thing is the prep. Again, if you have a builder, I would ensure that if you want a really good finish, can they throw in extra money to get a prep perfectly done on your vinyl floor? Because you glue it down and because it's quite thin, you will see absolutely everything. So the prep is crucial. There's really good things that I love about the vinyl is, for example, you know, you have kids, you drop something and it dents one. Literally all you have to do is grab a knife, take that plank out, put glue in, and which you can get at some Bunnings and all that, and put the new plank in. It's super easy to change. It's 100% waterproof, so if it gets wet, it doesn't matter. It's good on your feet too. You know, it feels nice. It's not like tiles which are cold, and it doesn't have, for those that have walked on it, you would know what I'm talking about. But if you walk on a laminate or a floating floor, it's a little bit bouncy because it floats. Vinyl, you don't have that. It's just a hard floor. So yeah, it's got quite a lot of sort of advantages.
Solid on the feet. It's also, you don't need an expansion joint.
That's a big thing that, again, I'm very OCD when it comes to things. And the one thing that I love about vinyl is it doesn't expand and contract, I guess, or a very, very, very small amount, which means that you could lay all your floor, you could silicone the surrounding and you don't need any expansion joint. So expansion joint, like we were mentioning with tiles, is flooring needs to expand and to contract, but vinyl is a little bit different in terms of that. So what's good is your builder can put all their skirtings down, they can paint the whole house, for example, and then they can lay the vinyl floor, which is super easy to install too. If you are doing a renovation again or something like that, you can cut it with a knife, glue it on the floor, you silicone all your surroundings, no expansion joint, it's super neat. Keep in mind one thing, and that's the last thing we're gonna say, I think, about the vinyl floor. Is the thickness. So
literally about to say that.
Keeping in mind that, for example, when you're gonna go from your vinyl to your tile, vinyl being 4 mil, and usually a 10 mil tile, by the time you had 4 mil of glue, would be about 15 mil. So you have a little bit of a difference between vinyl and carpet and vinyl and tile.
So why is this such an important thing to keep in mind?
Well, it's just, I guess, the idea is always to have flooring as flush as possible with each other. It's always very, very hard, but if you know you want that flooring flush, vinyl may not be the sort of answer, or you may need to sort of ramp it up or find a different flooring, I guess. So, you know, most of the time, most people are gonna be okay with it. To be honest, it's not bad when you look at it, but it's just something to keep in mind when you have that floor. And particularly say when we were talking about carpet, if you decide to go with like a 20 mil pile, a carpet and 10 mil underlay, and then you have vinyl, it's going to look pretty bad. So you just want to make sure that, you know, you got normal soft carpet or normal tile so that you don't have that much of a difference here.
Yeah, awesome.
But we have done it before.
Yeah.
For example, a handicap-friendly house where, you know, you just got to design it well, but you could actually ramp up a little bit and it's very hard to see and you pretty much have no step.
Awesome. Beautiful. So that was vinyl. The next one is a laminate flooring.
Laminate flooring. So laminate flooring is basically a flooring that we tend to say no now as a builder. Yeah. As much as a laminate flooring looks great and it's quite durable in terms of scratching, the downside that it has is the water resistant. Yeah. Yeah. Laminate flooring, as soon as, you know, you might have a mop and the bucket tips, it's game over.
Good luck.
You might have a leak, yeah. It's game over.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I like the product because of the look, but in terms of the longevity and the maintenance, to me, it's a no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for all the laminate manufacturers out there, but the laminate manufacturers would usually also do the hybrid, supply which we're going to talk next.
Yeah.
You know, if you have maybe a small room and it's completely separate and it's a kid's bedroom and you maybe know that nothing's going to happen, it will be fine. Okay, maybe put a laminate flooring there.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, I would really try to stay away from it. Laminate flooring will also need expansion. So just keep in mind that. Do not nail it down. Do not put it right against the wall. You want clearance on all the sides of the room.
Mm.
Because laminate flooring moves. So again, most people don't know what you do is you put a layer of protective film on the floor, and which has also a little bit of insulation. Then you put your laminate flooring on top and that's all it does. It just floats.
Yeah.
It just floats in the room, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is why sometimes it can be a little bit bouncy to walk on.
Yeah.
And the the downside too is, for example, if you have your laminate flooring and your skirting, we cannot silicone that edge. Or that corner, not edge, which again, to me, the finish makes it a little bit harder.
Yeah.
As opposed to your vinyl floor where you silicone it and it's perfect.
Yeah,
it
looks nice and clean.
That's it.
That's it, awesome. So the next one is, like you mentioned, hybrid flooring. Exactly like the name, it's a hybrid
flooring.
That's it. What are some great benefits?
So hybrid flooring, basically think of a mix between a vinyl plank and a laminate flooring. So it has the benefits of both, where it has the look that a laminate flooring would have and the resistance that it has and the way it's sort of installed, which is usually click and flooring floor, but it has the waterproof resistance of a vinyl flooring. So it's 100% waterproof, which is why when clients want a laminate flooring, this is what we recommend.
Yeah. I'd say it's definitely becoming a more popular choice.
Very much
now.
So. Yeah. I think probably about a year and a half ago, it started to sort of kick off quite strong, maybe 2 years, I guess. Time goes so quick. really good flooring, to be honest. So usually what it is you've got the flooring and the insulation is part of the actual board.
Yeah.
So it comes pre-built. Easy to install.
Just to touch on that, so you don't actually need an underlay for it. It's built into the
You don't need an underlay. You could always add one,
but
you technically don't need one.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes it might be good to add another thing on top, particularly if it's a single story house and you got a concrete slab. You know, sometimes you might get a bit of moisture that comes up the slab.
Yeah.
So sometimes may not be a bad idea, although the floor is 100% waterproof, which is why if you want a laminate flooring, I would completely put the laminate on the side and I would look into hybrid flooring.
Yeah.
Now, the only downside and the difference between the laminate and the vinyl, so the vinyl, if you remember, is glued down on the floor, the laminate is floating, which means that if it's a floating floor, it will need expansion.
Yeah.
Therefore, your skirting, again, cannot be silicone. So usually what we do is we would put the skirt, the flooring first, making sure we leave a gap all around that floor, and then we'd put the skirting on top of it. Obviously also keeping in mind that each door opening and everything would usually need an expansion join, which is usually a some kind of aluminum bars, and there's so many types that would match ideally the color of that floor.
Yeah.
But yes, in terms of look, if you don't like the look of that expansion join or that bar, you will have to go vinyl. Because otherwise, I do find that look of the bar a little bit annoying. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
I find it
iffy. Yeah.
If I had to walk past that bar every single day, I think I'd be going into a meltdown. But floor looks good. It's waterproof. It's relatively cost efficient. So We go sort of vinyl first and probably go laminate, and then I would go hybrid in terms of pricing. Yeah. So yeah, a little bit pricier, but you don't want to risk having a cheaper laminate flooring and then having to replace it all because of a leak. Yeah. It'd be quite annoying.
So anything else you wanted to touch on in terms of hybrid flooring before we move on?
Not really. I would just say, you know, it's always good to either go to your builder's color selection center or even go to the flooring supplier and have a quick look, because there's so many options and there's so many colors and so many tiles. Not just colors, but also the size of the planks. You might like a narrow plank, or you might have a much wider and longer plank. So have a look at this and have a look at what flooring you prefer. Some people will go for the hybrid. Some people will go for the vinyl. Some people really may want to go with a laminate, even though they know it's not waterproof. You just got to pick what's right for you.
That's it. So another one is, I guess it's kind of fading out these days. We don't really see too much of it, but it's the bamboo flooring.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've done one. And again, we sort of refuse to even do it now just because it has the same issues as a laminate floor.
Yeah.
But what we found is it also tends to expand and contract quite a lot. Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit, it's nice when it's installed and yes, it does look quite good, but the price, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
So how I see it is, why spend the money on a bamboo flooring when you can have a hybrid?
That's exactly right.
Or maybe even step up to an engineered floor at some point, like, you know. So yeah, so I would say if this is something you really, really want, you know, that's fine. But if you are happy with something else, I'd probably go to the hybrid instead.
I agree.
And basically what a bamboo floor is, because we haven't really spoken about it, bamboo tree, bamboo floor is made of that. So it's a full timber floor. There's no fake parts about it. It's a full timber floor.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Chris. Yeah, well, you know.
A bamboo floor. There you go. That's breaking news. Yeah, bamboo floor is made from bamboo.
Yeah, it's true. Well, while a laminate floor is a full fake floor, there's nothing real about a laminate floor. There's nothing real about a vinyl floor, and there's nothing real about a hybrid floor. It's all fake with a really thin layer, usually 0.3 of a mil, so very, very thin layer of a printed sort of material on top. So all fake.
Do you know what they're made from? Like the laminate and stuff at all? Or I think it's like fiberglass and something.
Oh, it depends on the actual flooring, but there's usually a mix of everything in there.
Awesome. So now let's bring us to the timbers. Two different types of timbers.
And again, we're going up in price, so keep that in mind.
That's exactly right. So two different types of timbers. You've obviously got the engineered timber flooring, and then you've also got the natural or real timber flooring.
That's it.
So first one, engineered timber flooring. What are some great benefits of the engineered timber flooring?
Okay, so and I was just thinking about that. I'm not even sure why it's called engineered timber floor. I don't even know. I was just thinking about this. I'm like, why is it called engineered timber floor?
Yeah, because technically it's still timber. Like a real timber.
Yeah, I just don't know why it's engineered. Like hybrid is more engineered than a timber floor. But anyway, that was just me thinking about this. Engineered timber floor is a mix of fake and real. So what you have is, I guess, a cheaper timber at the bottom, and the top layer usually have 3 to 4 mil of real timber floor. Yeah. So the whole purpose of the engineered timber floor is to have, I guess, a floating floor that looks like a real timber floor, but doesn't have the cost of a real timber floor.
For sure.
And you don't have to sand it, and you don't have to stain it. It comes all pre-finished. So that is the benefit.
Yeah. That's it.
An engineered timber floor is still quite expensive. So that is one of the downside. They usually go up quite a lot from a hybrid floor, I guess. So this is one of the downside. Yes, the colors are a lot more real. And when you look at the two planks, you see how much of a difference it is. As much as you try to replicate a real timber floor, it's never possible. I mean, I'm sure one day it will. The positives are it looks great, it's easy to install, and it's not as expensive as a solid timber floor.
Yeah.
There is some negatives, and from experience that I had with it is it can be creaky when you walk on. Because it's real timber and the way it joins, it can be a little bit creaky when you walk on it, which can be a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
During the day, you might not see that much, but at night when there's no noise in the room and you're trying to walk, it can be a little bit creaky.
How's it go?
That was a bit of a dinosaur thing, I guess. But and as per the laminate flooring, it's also a floating floor, so it will need to have expansion all around. You will need expansion in between doorways or when you go from a really large space to a really narrow hallway. So this is the only downside. So yeah.
What are we talking as well in terms of thickness for an engineered floor?
There's so many choices, but about 14, 15 mils about the thickness. So yes, mm-hmm. it will marry up a lot better with your tiles.
Yeah.
Maybe even stick a little bit higher than that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's about the same, I guess. Yeah.
Perfect.
But yeah, consider that too. Good point again to talk about this. Whether you pick a hybrid or solid or whatever, consider the thickness between all your floors. Very important, particularly if you are someone as is a little bit older or you have a wheelchair and you really need to take this into consideration. Think about the different thicknesses in flooring.
100%. Perfect. So that brings us to the big main boy, I guess, when it comes to in timber, which is obviously natural timber flooring.
My favorite. Favorite.
It's true. Every time you go into a house,
oh,
and
it's
like,
so nice.
Oh, it's got timber flooring. He's like, ooh.
You cannot replicate it. You cannot beat it. The warmth of it, the smell of it, the look of it. It's just beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
It. So as the name suggests, 100% solid timber flooring. So what are some great features about this?
I was going to start maybe with a downside. I don't know, because I was thinking cost. Like in my head, it's just cost. It's expensive.
All right, Chris, let's talk about the cost.
And it's
right?
The only downside about it, I guess, it's just the cost. It's just expensive as, and really, I wish it was a little bit cheaper, but it's just not just the product, but it's also the labor that goes into it. Because what happens is if it's a concrete slab, you need to put 12 mil ply on top, and then you nail and you glue your floor on top. Mm-hmm. Then you need to sand all that floor, and I mean sand it as perfect as possible, because everything you will see, and then you put two coats of whatever product you want. Usually a satin finish will usually look a little bit nicer, because if you go gloss, you will see the scratches a lot more.
Yep.
Also think about that when you pick your flooring, think about the scratches, try to avoid any gloss except from a tile. But even then, the glossier the tile, the harder it is to keep clean. So think about that too.
That's it.
But in terms
of-
said
that before, that just rolled off the tongue like one.
But in terms of timber flooring, the glossier, the easier you will see the scratches. And the harder it is to keep clean too. So I would always pick, whether it's a staircase, whether it's timber flooring, a satin finish. It's usually, my opinion, the best finish you can get.
Sure.
So that's why it's the price of the product and the labor to install it. As opposed to you rock it into the house, you put your laminate flooring, it's done in one day. The solid might be maybe 2 days in laying, a day in sanding, and a day in sealing. That's it, right. That's the only downside. Obviously, be careful if you have heels and you know, it will dent. It's a real timber floor. So it is not as scratch and as impact resistant as a laminate or hybrid or a vinyl floor.
What's solid timber floor like with water and stuff too?
You want to sort of avoid it too. It will take on a little bit, but again, it's one of those floors where timber and water don't mix together. Yeah. And also a very important thing, if you have a solid timber floor, look at the strength of that floor. And what I mean by that, you have soft timbers and you have hard timbers. So you might have a wife and she's got really tall heels and you might want to go for a harder timber as opposed to you like the look of the softer timber. And you're going to tell everyone to walk inside the house with socks, which is what you should do, in my opinion, in a timber floor. And you're okay to go with that. But look at the strength. There's a name for it, and I just cannot think about it. There's a name for the impact strength of a timber, I guess. Yeah. I just can't think of it.
Durability?
No, there's a specific name for it. I'm having a blank. it's quite important because usually it's not one of those floors you want to walk in shoes, because all it takes is a rock at the bottom of your shoe and it will scratch everywhere. So it's just a little bit of a delicate floor. It will look unbelievable if you maintain it well and you are careful with it, but it will also be easier to scratch. But saying that too, if you do scratch it, and in 5 year times you're like, all right, I'm just gonna give it a freshen up, give it a sand, give it a new stain, and it's brand new again.
That's it. Pretty much hit the nail on the head. Lastly, also requires expansion as well.
Also requires expansion. And the expansion usually on a timber floor is just cork. Yep. So basically you've got a sliding door, you've got a hallway, you got this, expansion going around, just cork.
Perfect.
They usually sand it when they sand a floor and they stain everything. And it looks so good. I'm sort of not against, but I don't like the expansion on hybrid and laminate.
Yeah.
But on a solid timber floor, to be honest, it doesn't bother me. It looks good. It's hard to see unless you're very, very picky because it just blends in really, really well.
Yeah. Perfect.
So yeah, a really beautiful floor, particularly if you are doing a Hampton style home and you have a little bit more of a budget, you just cannot beat that floor.
It looks amazing. Mm. Yeah. Awesome. So a lot of people are sitting there and they're probably calculating. They're like, wow, they've talked about tiles, they've talked about carpet, they've talked about
They've confused me more than anything.
All these different types of, timber look flooring and timber flooring that are surely like, come on, like we've been going for like 40 minutes now. True. Surely we're done. But wait.
Oh, there's so much. But wait, there's more. I mean.
There is so many more flooring options. Mm. Another great one, commonly expensive, but is natural stone.
Yeah.
So you get natural stone as flooring, hey?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking about this. And if we had to take the equivalent in tiles, the equivalent to a solid timber floor, it would be natural tiles.
Stone. Yeah.
And it looks... Again, you can replicate it quite good now, but you still can't replicate the actual
texture
tile. Yeah, because you could have a non-filled travertine tile. You could have granites, marble, all those things. And to me, travertine is one of those materials like I absolutely love it. So we don't get to do it often, but when we do, it's just so cool that you see.
Yeah.
A lot of time with travertine too, which is a positive, you don't even have to have grout. You can just butt them against each other and it looks absolutely stunning. So yeah, but downside of natural tiles, I guess, because they're not really a tile. Natural stone flooring is the cost. It will be very expensive. And it will be expensive not just to buy, it will be expensive to lay.
Yeah.
The reason for that, you might think, it's a 600 by 600 travertine tile. It's gotta be the same as a 600 by 600 porcelain tile to me. So, well, no, because-
Well, no.
No, I'm sorry. But it's just, the hard thing about it is, first of all, it will tend to break a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I know because I've installed it myself and how many times have I cut a travertine tile around everything, the door jams, and I'm grabbing the thing and it just breaks. And I'm like, oh my God, here we go again. So it's just a little bit more labor to install and you cannot cut it with a tile self-cutter.
Mm.
For those that don't know, if you want to cut a porcelain tile, you got a tile cutter, I could literally cut a tile in probably 2 seconds.
Yeah, literally.
To cut a stone tile, you literally need to ideally have a wet saw. You need to cut that with a wet saw. It takes a while. It's just a lot more work. So if it's a straight floor, it's nice, but you will have cut somehow. And this is where the labor goes in, I guess. It's all this, the sort of cutting. But it looks amazing. And the last thing is, yes, it will be usually a little bit more maintenance than a porcelain tile.
Yeah.
Porcelain tile being non-porous.
Yeah.
And a stone usually being a porous thing.
Yeah.
Depending on the tile you have, it might come pre-sealed, it might have a finish on it, or it might be a completely natural finish. Yeah. And you might want to add a penetrative sealer on top to stop any stain from getting there. So yes, it's a little bit more in terms of maintenance, but you cannot beat the look of that either.
1000%. Awesome. So another great one that we commonly see in things like like gyms in the garage is your epoxy coated flooring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So as the name suggests, you've got the epoxy garage flooring, looks great in there. It sort of gives like this coating over the the cement, I guess. It just looks great. It feels
great. That's it. About
easy to clean.
For a standard garage, about $2,500.
Yeah, yeah.
It costs on average.
Mm.
And it just looks really good because yes, you have a garage, you might do some mechanics in there, you might have a gym.
Yeah.
You don't want to get any oil sinking into the concrete. Epoxy flooring will solve all that. Not only it looks good, it protects your floor too.
Yeah.
So usually what they do, they put a sealer, they put all their flakes on, put a coat of two of a sort of epoxy, and it looks absolutely amazing.
It's a super cool process to watch. Hey,
it's a super cool process. And I've done it, and we should have filmed when I did that. But it's actually, as a do it yourself, it wouldn't actually be that hard as long as you got the right product.
Yeah.
I hope Bunnings doesn't watch this, but don't buy the Bunnings epoxy because it is shit and it will peel.
Yeah.
Usually what you want to do is you want to give it a quick grind. You want to grind the top layer of your garage floor.
Mm-hmm.
But when I mean grind, it's a very thin grind just to take off all that dusty sort of layer.
Yeah.
So that you can get your concrete that's actually going to stick to the product. Then you prime it and you put everything on. And so it's not actually that hard. If you did have someone to grind it, it wouldn't be too hard.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure you get really good product. Avoid the Bunnings product if you can. Try to look at proper suppliers and even go there and buy that product because it will last you a long, long time.
For sure. Awesome. So the last that I had on the list that I can think of is polished concrete.
Polished concrete.
A very overlooked, yes. I feel, flooring option. I personally absolutely love the look of polished concrete.
I agree.
But again, there is a few pros and cons. One being obviously that it is quite pricey.
Yeah. And people will probably think, why is it more expensive when there's no flooring on there?
Wait, you want me to pay more for nothing?
Exactly. But I don't get tiles.
But honestly, it does look amazing. Do you want to just explain a little bit about what the polished concrete is?
Polished concrete, there's so many ways to do it. But ideally what you want to have is you have, for example, a concrete slab, you want to have a specific mix as opposed to a random mix of concrete. Ideally, you want to have a proper mix which has what the proper mix will give you is a similar spread of the stone so that you don't have a patch when you have nothing and then a patch where you have heaps of stone.
For sure.
So this is the first thing you want to do, which is more expensive. You want to upgrade the strength of your concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Normally 20 MPa, you probably want to go to a 25 plus sort of MPa.
Sure.
You want to upgrade the steel on your slab. Yes. To me, this is a must. I hate seeing cracks on a polished concrete floor. I think it looks shit and it bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely upgrade the steel on your slab. And finally, you have to polish it, which you might think that it's easy. You polish it and it's done. But for example, we have a polished concrete floor on the office upstairs of the CMA headquarters.
Yep.
About 200 square meters, I think, of office we have upstairs. And I think the guy spent about a week to polish that.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, about a week to polish that. It still looks amazing.
Oh, it looks good.
But it's just like once you see the sort of equipment and everything, that's also where the cost goes. So not just all those things, but also this. And again, from a builder's point of view, what we have to do is make sure that floor is fully protected during the whole build.
Yeah.
So there's a few extra things that we have to do. And yes, it will be more expensive than tiles. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you find someone that does it for the same price, I would be worried about it. And I would insist, is my mesh thicker?
Yeah.
What sort of concrete am I getting? You can also get different sort of exposure of your concrete. You might have been to some Bunnings and you see that you can't even see the stone, but it's smooth and it looks really nice.
Yeah.
That's one.
Yeah.
Or you can get a full exposure of the stone. Mm. And again, you can get different levels of gloss on it. So they don't necessarily, so they gloss it like they would sort of polish a stone. It's not like, they grind everything and they roll like a product. It doesn't work like that. Yeah. It's the machine that actually sort of polishes it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so strong and that's why it lasts for so long.
For sure.
So the downside is the cost. It does look super, super cool. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, super cool. So,
awesome. So that is pretty much all the flooring I had in mind. Is there any others that?
I mean, there's so many more. There's cork flooring and there's all those things. There's rubber.
If you
have a gym, there's a lot of flooring, but those are the main ones. And I think we've covered everything pretty good.
Yeah.
We can always go into more details, but we don't want to do a 4-hour podcast.
It's true. Chris could always go into more detail.
So I think hopefully this has helped you picking your flooring. Mm. And I think that's about it. Like, make sure you remember about the expansion on your flooring. Make sure you remember about the thickness of your flooring.
Definitely.
And make sure you keep in mind into the durability and the scratch and impact resistance of your flooring.
So the weatherproofing and stuff.
If you have if you have allergies for your soft carpets and stuff all that. But usually, no matter what flooring it is, porcelain tiles are a little bit specific because usually even the cheap ones are good.
Yeah.
They've become so mass products that, it is good even if you go into National Tiles and paying $20 per square meter for the Majestic Ivory, mm-hmm. is still a really good tile.
For sure.
But in terms of carpets and in terms of timber, you really want to have a good product, yeah. particularly in terms of carpet too, because otherwise it will look pretty shit pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it begins to fade and all things like that.
Yeah, also I consider the fading too. It's yeah. a prime example too, because true, you might have a really dark floor and you got a massive window and you get all the afternoon sun on it.
Yeah.
Put a blind or put a tint on that window, please, because the floor will fade.
Yeah, and the floor will thank you for it.
So. And the floor will thank you yeah. for it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it you should just consider the self lining and all that when you think about your floor. I guess
just calm down. What happened? Far out. Just throw it away. Come on, be like that. Nah. All right. Well, that pretty much summed it up. So let's get out of here. Hope you enjoyed that podcast. Hopefully it wasn't too long, but you got some value out of it.
Let us know if it helped you pick the right floor.
That's it. So hopefully you'll walk into your color selection or whatever it may be and be feeling super confident about your flooring.
I can't wait for people to walk into their builders and like, listen, I know everything about flooring.
And yes, so all the builders are like saying, fuck CMA right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's
like,
it, yeah. No, but it's good because I think if you know about it, at least a lot of people and even a lot of color selection consultants and even builders may not even know about all those things. So
yeah,
it's important as a client that you are aware of those things and that you have the information when you pick your flooring too.
That's it. That way you can go take it to your builder or your color consultant, whatever. And that way you have all the info. Easy. So let's get out of here.
And I got one question too. Let us know what podcast you would like us to do next.
That's it. We threw around the idea of talking everything exterior wise. So exterior, exterior cladding, I should specify. So, you know, things like render, your different cladding options.
Brick veneer, heebel.
That's it.
Cladding, foam. That's about it, I think. Might have missed something.
Yeah.
Oh, a trim deck and trim all deck. The collarbone cladding.
That's it. So yeah, loads of options there in terms of that one. But if you guys have a specific topic in mind that isn't that, feel free to let us know. Put it down in the comments or message us on Instagram and we'll try and work out how we can try and get that topic and get some, yeah, get
Don.
That topic. And
Don. The topic. I think the cladding would be gone on the next one because most people, there's so many options.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily know about heebel and brick veneer. And
yeah.
most people would think that, you know, the bricks are so important because they make the house strong. Well, they don't.
Mm,
the frame holds the brick.
Yeah.
The bricks don't do no Nothing. Strength in the house. So, so yeah, I think we could do one of that. Yeah. Yeah.
100%. All right. Well, thank you so much. Make sure if you haven't already, subscribe to this, share it with someone who you think will get value out of this, whether they're building with us or not. And we will see you next week with one of those mentioned cool podcasts.
Done.
So, yeah, that's it. Let's go.